Hi, this is Ryan Dunn. I'm the technical evangelist for SQL Server Data Services, also called SSDS. And I'm sitting here today with two of the members from the product group. Guys, why don't you go ahead and announce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Sumitra Sengupta. I'm one of the architects in the SQL Server Data Services. My responsibility is around the design of the manageability layer and also working on how to expose this service, what the SLA should be, what the business model should be, so I kind of take care of those types of things. Been at Microsoft about 5 years now. Prior to this, I was running the XML team within the SQL Server.
I'm Tudor Toma. I'm the Group Program Manager for SSDS and CloudDB. I'm running the team who owns the functionality of the service and also delivering the service. I've been in a number of roles in Microsoft. I've been here for about 15 plus years. And I've always came back to data type, you know, products or services and solutions. So
right.
I'm a data guy at heart.
You're a data head.
Data head at heart. Great. So I'm here today to talk to you guys about SSDS and really around the value proposition that we're here to offer people. And I guess the kickoff question, I'll make it somewhat broad, is give me the data proposition in so many words. What is it? Or the value proposition, excuse me.
The simple tenet for our project, which is the one-liner elevator pitch, is storage as a utility. It's really consuming storage as opposed to running, you know, on-premises, running it in-house, consuming the same way you consume power or network. You plug in, you get storage, structured, unstructured, semi-structured, consume as much as you need, pay as you go.
Okay.
That's the simple story behind.
But why would storage as utility be beneficial? What, as opposed to paying a flat fee today or investing in my own infrastructure?
Can I take that question?
Sure.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. So think of it this way. If you were to start a small business or a website, you're developing something, some social networking website, first thing you have to figure out is where are you going to host that site? You got to figure out the data center. You got to figure out what your data model is going to be. You got to figure out what software you're going to use for this. Even when you go to an outsourcer, even when you go to a hosting service, you got to do a lot of work before you start to do the actual work of building your service.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are using SSDS, all you have to do is start using the service. It's just like a dial tone. It's a dial tone for data. It's there on the web. You can start and build the service right from day one. You don't have to worry about what type of hardware you're going to use, how it's going to be provisioned, what database server is behind it. You just worry about your data model and start writing programs from day one.
So my capital expenditure goes down. Is that all my expenditures, or is there more?
It's both. You don't have to worry about the initial capital outlay,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to worry about the time-to-market issue. Even if you have the money to spend, you would still have to wait till that infrastructure gets provisioned, your databases are online, before you can actually start programming to it.
Okay.
Here, we are actually giving you something from day one that you can write your application against.
So I add to that that you also get the benefit of a highly available, robust, highly scalable service. So you don't need to worry about scale as well. If you run a service after you've done everything Sumitra mentioned, you know, your business is booming. You need to buy 10 times more servers. You need to, you know, hire 10 times more, you know, EBAs or people servicing the infrastructure, and then make your application be scalable, and all those benefits come with just using storage as a service.
Yeah, that's a point that we should also, it's not just at the startup cost, the life cycle. You start this social networking site, you got 10,000 users. Now all of a sudden, you put some band up there and the site goes up to 2 million hits.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be flat on your face. You don't have the time to figure out how you're going to change your data model back. Those are the problems we take care for you. You don't have to worry about that. You just send a request, we up your storage requirements, and you can start scaling your business. You don't worry about how to do these things. You worry about what your business is, how are you going to get your customers.
If I'm an existing business today and I have operational expenses around maintaining databases and whatnot, I don't think we're saying that we're going to put those IT professionals out of business. I think what we're probably saying is that those guys will be able to focus on tasks that are more oriented to other activities or to more valuable for the business than worrying about running the database.
That's an important point.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention that we see services as a big paradigm shift it's a kind of a game-changing event, and more solutions, especially new solutions at the beginning, will use service in the cloud. We really see service in the cloud, including, you know, our storage service, as being complementary to software that runs on premises. You know, it's basically software plus services. That's really what we mean by that. So we're going to continue to have your solutions, maybe build new ones, build complementary or secondary scenarios which use storage in the cloud. Over time, we think more and more solutions will migrate to using more services, and this over time could mean, you know, 3 years, 5 years, you know, 8 years out. So it's going to be a longer time until things migrate. For now, for a long time, it's going to be complementary and start saving money and getting all the benefits you mentioned.
Okay. If I can elaborate a little bit on that, you know, to kind of get to the heart of your question, you know, I was at Corio before I came here, and I saw what DBAs and people have to go through to keep a service up, a payroll service or a CRM service, to keep that service up. It's just firefighting continuously. Mm-hmm. Very little time is spent on strategic activities that is value add to the business. All you are doing is keeping the service up. We're taking that pain out of you, out from under you. You can focus on your business. There's a couple of ways this comes about. One is, let's say you're a business and you're quarter end, you have to do a lot of analytics and move data around. You are buying capacity for your peak usage during the end of the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
In a software plus service model, you can still have your in-house on-premises database and all the other infrastructure, but you can buy peak capacity from a service provider.
Right.
Okay, so you can move that load off of your on-premises and move it into the cloud to get that peak capacity without doing much work.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, where it is not core to your business, those types of assets you can move to the cloud. We are not saying every data, every application moves to the cloud. There are a lot of applications that are core to the business's mission where it doesn't make sense to move them. And we don't want, we're not in the business to say move everything or keep
right.
everything. That's where the software plus services value proposition comes in.
Okay. Let's talk about pricing. You mentioned the utility model. My concern would be that I have a $5 bill 1 month and a $200 bill the next month. And are we going to offer any other pricing models in this?
So we just started thinking about pricing, and we kind of know the components of it, and we know how I want to go about it. Obviously, pay-as-you-go, it's a good model. We plan to basically see how our customers are using the service. We are just starting our invitation-only beta. We started last week. And we want to figure out, you know, the metrics, the usage of the service, how different target audiences use the service, and what is the best pricing for them. We've been thinking about you know, the pricing models where you can cap your expenses at a certain value, and then we will warn you once you, you know, pass that point. You can, you know, basically use it as you go, as your business needs the service. So we are just at the beginning of the process. Obviously, the components for pricing is, you know, the extent of your storage, you know, bandwidth use, you know, CPU usage, transactions per second, and so on. So it's a bunch of components. We want to figure out the right mix and the right levels of pricing the service. And just to give a sense of our timeline, our current plan is to go live sometime in first half of calendar year 09.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we're going to have the pricing kind of thing.
Okay. But would there be alternative models, or is it just definitely going to be metered? Are you just looking? You're saying you're looking into it. Is there a possibility we offer more than one model?
It is entirely possible that we're going to offer more than one model because Microsoft has millions of customers and each business is slightly different. We have enterprises, we have ISVs,
mm-hmm.
we have web properties that are on us. So almost certainly there's not a single silver bullet to solving this problem. We want to make sure that whatever we do aligns with the business needs of our customer. And that's why the beta program is so important, and we have a more hands-on tap type of program where we are actually working with the customer, trying to understand what value we are providing, and then figure out what models will work. It is unlikely that we are going to have, you know, hundreds of different models because nobody will be able to understand how this thing is sold. So most likely we will have a few, handful, that fits the business models of our customers.
Okay.
So just to add a couple more components to this, right? We we could, you know, our SLA would pretty much be the same for the entire cluster, so we can't vary and have a lower availability or higher availability. In terms of the time we respond to a given request, or in terms of how we guarantee business continuity, or in terms of our geo-distribution and how many geolocation you want your data to be, those are differentiators that we plan to include in the mix. The high point, as Sumitra pointed out, is really to shape it and target it best to our main target audience. So we want to figure out what customers need, and we'll shape it so that it works best for our target audience. That's the high point. The rest we need to figure out.
Okay. Well, you've probably heard in the news recently there's been lots of talks about other storage services with lots of competition in this space, right? Why would I choose SSDS over the competition? Are you going to beat them on price? Are you going to beat them on service? Is it a combination of both? Or what's the secret sauce here that's going to make people come to Microsoft?
That's a great question. You know, when we started this, we had to think about, started this project, why are we doing this? It's a great question. The biggest thing is you are building something that you want to play with. There are a lot of services out there you can use, and they will be there. Okay? Who are you going to bet your business on? Okay, in the services world, almost everybody agrees there's going to be a handful of people that will be able to provide these types of services at scale and at the cost competitive point and the wide range of things that we provide. If you're going to bet your business that if the service goes down or there's some glitch or anything that you're going to lose money, that's where I think we're going to shine. That's where we're going to differentiate, because everything we're building on is already proven in the enterprise. It's called SQL Server Data Services for an important reason. The core component is SQL Server. That has been proven in the market for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen any other service at this point that has that kind of foundation underneath it.
Okay.
So what I would add to that, so really, you know, we target our service for business scenario and business use. Our SLA will be a business SLA. The way we guarantee business continuity, we are, just to give you an example, we are trying to have, you know, two data centers which are geo-distributed and really replicate the data between the two data centers. Assuming one entire data center goes down, you know, us just changing the DNS name, we'll be able to point to the other data center and allow you to have business continuity within minutes, as opposed to other services who may take, you know, a longer time to, you know, re-provision and redeploy and, you know, restore from backup and you know, in order to guarantee continuity. So we really are business focused. To add to Sumitra's point about our SQL, we really draw from, you know, a history of building platform components and platform solutions. Our DNA comes from SQL Server, which is the engine running on each of the nodes of our service. And then we have our manageability and managing service managing components coming from MSN, so a long history of managing web properties. So all those components come into play. We are targeting in terms of optimizing our service and picking new features and prioritizing them. We are targeting business customers. So for now, that's going to be, you know, the kind of guiding and optimizing point to our invitation-only beta, to our open beta. So really optimize this entire effort to cater and to serve these business scenarios.
Yeah, the other point also, you know, we should not forget that the development tools and the developer ecosystem that surrounds all of the properties we have, like Visual Studio, there are literally millions of developers building their services and other things, not on a hosted service like SSDS, but on on-premises services. We are going to work really, really hard to make sure all that knowledge can be reused. You don't have to throw everything away and start thinking about a completely different model of building stuff. So think about link providers over SSDS, mm-hmm. stuff like Ryan. You built one, so you sort of know,
right?
What it takes to do that. But once you do that, if you're used to developing using the link paradigm, it should be a cakewalk for you. You're already doing it on premises. You're going to do it the same way when you're talking to SSDS. So the huge ecosystem we have, we bring into play. So if you're building a service and you need help from some developers who can help you get that service up and running, that all that training, all that learning just moves over.
That's a fair point. We have a very rich ecosystem, lots of language choices, lots of tooling and whatnot. You brought it up. What tooling are we going to offer? Am I going to be able to whip out an Explorer type application, design my database like I do in SQL Server today,
mm-hmm.
and deploy?
Yep, we're thinking about those things. There will be tooling inside of Visual Studio, but we shouldn't forget that this is the services world, it's the web world. So we're looking at how we can make web-based tooling available for people who do not have Visual Studio installed on their desktop.
Okay.
So just to add a couple of comments to this, we want really our service to be available from any client platform, right? That's an important
point.
That's
a great point, yeah.
And so we are building an ecosystem which is very aware and optimized for that. So we plan to provide libraries and samples and documentation and leading solutions which cover really all the platforms available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if you end up using the Microsoft stack and our tools, you're going to have a kind of a light-up experience, and it's going to be richer and better, and you're going to improve that. So on one hand, our existing developers will just migrate easily and seamlessly to using the service, but at the same time, we're going to invest in doing it horizontally and basically supporting all the other client platforms and make it easier for developers to onboard.
Okay, so before we run off of that, the reason you're saying that it's cross-platform is because we support HTTP, REST, and SOAP-based protocols. So anybody who can understand SOAP basic profile or WS profiles can interact with the service.
Yes.
Anyone who can issue a get, put, delete can interact with the service. Now, you're committing then to say we're going to have samples in other languages.
Yes.
And for other tools. And
I'm committing to building a level playing field for all the client platforms out there.
Okay.
And that means our support will be growing and evenly distributed across all those platforms.
Yeah, you've already seen code samples on our blog. Jeff Currier has put out some code sample that uses the curl library, for example,
mm-hmm.
and that uses Java, how to program in Java. Now, we could take it the next level and say we could provide you patterns and libraries that you could use, and we're looking into that. How can we engage with the community? We cannot do it by ourselves for every possible language. That's not scalable. So we want to actually see how we can engage with the community to provide a rich foundation
mm-hmm.
for all the other platforms that are out there.
Okay. So let's assume that I've purchased a service from you. I'm using utility billing. What are you going to give me in terms of how do I manage it? How do I figure out, look at what's happening mm-hmm. within my service? You know, am I seeing spikes on certain days? Are you going to be giving me reports and monitoring events? And how are you going to deliver that?
Sure. You can count on a live console through which you can see how your service is performing. So that's the first level. The level where we are absolutely not certain yet, that we are kind of looking at alerts and alarms you're going to get through that console.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The level where we are kind of trying to figure out what is the right balance here is to say, do we provide an API over the information we are collecting on how the service held, and then allow you to build your own tooling and integrate into your own environment?
Mm-hmm.
That is up for debate right now, but you can expect a console where you'll be able to see what's happening with your service.
So I vote for both. Does that count?
Yeah, that's an important data point. Everything, you know, we are collecting data. We're talking to customers. A lot of people have talked about, you know, can you give me an RSS feed or can you give an end of month log feed
mm-hmm.
that gives me all the data about my service? Everything is at play right now. You know, we are learning with our customers. Customers are telling us what they would like to see, and we are trying to figure out how we prioritize that. And that kind of goes into the cycle that we have. We are basically on an 8-week sprint cycle where we prioritize our requirements and then see what we can do and how fast we can do it.
I see.
Okay. Just a couple of more points to this. So we're going to provide metering and access to information about how you use your system, basically up to date so that you can get a sense of, you know, your billing and your usage and your spikes and all that. The other point is we're going to provide, as we customize the service, because right now we have a single schema, it's the same flexible entities for everyone to use. As we customize the service, we're gonna add tools which allow you to interact with the facet of the service that you are customizing. Obviously, we'll be building that. And then the third point is we are listening for feedback on what are the best tools and the best, you know, information for us to expose. And fourth, the level of our interaction with customers will depend on most likely on the level of service we want to register for. So.
Okay. Any chance I'll be able to get an enterprise-level agreement then, or in terms of support? Or are we going to do You know, there was an announcement of month-to-month support.
Best effort? No, best effort is not good enough for us. No, okay. Our customers, if you're going to trust your business on us, you will get the support that makes it certain that you can run your business on us. So you will get an enterprise-level support. And we have a service desk. Microsoft has had a service desk for a long, long time. So one of the requests that we have heard is, are you going to have a service desk? Service desk is not an afterthought for us. Service desk is going to be part of our service that we provide. So you'll be able to talk to a real person too.
Okay. One of the things that has come up, I know I've heard from other customers, and maybe it's just a mind shift that we need to explain better, but people say, okay, great, I put my data up there. Two things concern me. One, the security of my data. Who's going to have access to it, confidentiality of my data. And then I would say like a backup plan of some sort. So addressing that, what's our take on confidentiality? What's our take on security? And what's our take on backup?
So I can quickly comment to this. So in terms of backup, we are obviously, you know, providing robust data, we're going to do backups of the data, allow you, that will be part of the SLA as well. It could be backup for a week or 2 weeks or a month or so. And you're going to make sure that the data is recoverable in case some error happened in your data, you want to go back, you know, point in time. You're going to provide that. In terms of security and privacy of the data, we are working through that process. We want to understand from customers exactly what the requirements are. Our end goal is for us to become the standard in terms of privacy and security. So you want, and this is a high point. I wanted to mention this. I'm happy you asked this question. If you look at the way most people perceive services today, especially storage, which is stateful, anything holds your data, you know, handing it over to some other company, somebody else like Microsoft, people have an emotional resistance to it. They say, look, it may not be secure enough, it may not be, you know, preserve privacy, or I may not have the availability for my business to run on it. So currently it's an emotional issue. And we know our goal is to change this kind of 180 degrees and get to a point where when two, you know, business decision makers or IT managers talk to each other and say, look, are you not yet on services? Is the most available, the cheapest, the safest, the best way to go? If you haven't done the switch or move some of the new apps to services, you need to go ahead and do it because it's the best way, the most cost-effective, the most reliable, the safest. It's a standard in terms of privacy. We, you know, require privacy by the way, you know, storage service Microsoft offers it, right? So we want to move to that place. That's the goal. Now, the way we get to that point, in my opinion, is really through building the best name for our service. So I think a huge component, maybe the most important one for a service, is excellence in execution. So you really want to deliver it so that we build confidence, we show that our availability is equal or higher to our SLA, we make sure our data is robust, we never lose data, the service is always predictable and available. So we build, so it's a longer term effort, but we want to get to a point where the opinion tips over and says, look, service is the way to go for new apps, for the scenarios that make sense to make, you know, to implement them in the cloud. If you haven't done that yet, you should go ahead and do it because the opinion, you know, switched and tipped over and really that's the best way to go. So we want to get to that point.
If I can add a couple of, there's a cultural issue to it and there's a technical issue, right? So technically in SQL Server there is encryption support. In Katmai you're going to start seeing encryption support. So some applications might require us to provide encryption levels, support for encryption,
okay,
in the data store. But the bigger point is we are actually going to make our money by providing a service. We have no plans in the service to make any money by exploiting the data that is stored in the service. Okay, that's a key point, and that's a differentiator we should keep in mind. Microsoft is going to make money because we provide a service to customers that is of value.
Okay.
So there is no plans within our, and we are not in that business of actually looking at the user's data, mining the user's data. We want to make that very, very clear.
Okay. That's good to hear. All right, so at this point, I'm going to ask you one final question, and it's going to be, you know, kind of, if I'm a CTO of a company, I've listened to everything you've said so far, I'm on the fence a little bit, I have my data center, I understand I'm getting a reduction in capital expenditures. I understand I'm getting a reduction, or at least not a reduction in operational management necessarily, but those operational costs can be focused to better activities, mm-hmm. something more valuable to
me. You get a reduction in calls in the middle of the night.
You get a reduction in calls. There, fair enough. I'm thinking about moving to the Microsoft platform.
Mm-hmm.
What, in terms of the ecosystem of other services and things that, you know, what's the final thing that's going to push me over? What's your pitch, if you will, that's going to say, hey, you know, data is great, but I need something there to make it really worth my effort. What's it going to be?
So for me, there are really three components. One is, the brand name and the credibility we build for the service. And my invitation would be to come, try the service, learn how to trust it and then move your business to our service. The second one is really the ecosystem that we plan to build around our service, and that includes other services, which like reporting services or business or Sync. So we want to offer a kind of better together approach to services. It's not the race to the cheapest gigabyte per month or so. It's really the entire value that we offer through our family of services we plan to provide. So that's really and then is the guarantee that moving forward, your data is the safest, the most available, the most reliable with Microsoft.
Okay, so before we walk away from that, you're saying we're going to have other services like BI, for instance, and other value-add services to this to layer on top of the data. It's not just data storage.
Just to give you an example, you have a petabyte of data.
Right.
If you run it on premises, it's going to take a lot of processing power to get a complex report out of it. Your report may be one page long. To process that, it's a huge investment, it's huge CPU usage, and a lot of lots of machines. You have the data in the cloud. You use our BI features, you're going to process the report for how long it takes. It's going to be one page coming back to you with the results of that. That's a very powerful example. That's the best way to use a story in the cloud, plus business intelligence.
And also, if you're a CTO, you actually need to get in the game because this is going to be a multi-year transformation. It's not going to happen overnight. You need to build the muscles within your organization on how to deal with service providers like this. What are going to be the best practices within your organization that is tailored for your business? You need to figure out what's happening in the SI community that you trust and work with. How are they going to get trained to take advantage of these types of services that are going to come up? So cloud computing is here to stay. There's going to be public cloud, which is where Google and some of the other competitors are going to play. And there's going to be private cloud, which is your business, where you're going to put your business. And you need to start getting into the game. You may not trust your crown jewels onto their services at this time, but you do need to start making plans of putting some of the ancillary services that you have around your core assets onto the cloud to see how this will evolve and work for you.
And it's really the way to go there is build trust in the service, see how it brings value to you, and then think about migrating more and more of your scenarios. It's really about building credibility and trust in the service.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's been great talking to you both.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.